Blog Talk Radio.
Here Comes the Time from Generation Redemption CD. What a wonderful album, what a wonderful man, what a wonderful world that we have here. Just going to close out that song there, although it goes on for a couple more minutes. I'm sorry, we can't hear the whole thing because we've got to try to prevent some quantum Torah, especially quantum Torah energy points. And I just want to let everyone know that I'm in a good mood, but I'm in a very focused mood because there's just so much matters going on in the world. And of course, if you want to try to make the show more organic, Blessed Souls, we openly welcome anyone to call up at 347-838-8669. And with that being said, this is Soul Class number 142, Quantum Energy Point. trying to multitask. When you multitask, there can be problems. So this is Soul Class number 142, Quantum Torah Part number 11. And we're going to read our introduction, and we'll go right into the show. Blessed is our Creator. And by the way, I'm not going to mention the Seven High Commandments because I'll ask of you all to do your own research on that. You can go to a wonderful website to discuss that, to learn about it, at www.asknoah.org. Blessed is our Creator. Hope you can tune into our next installment of Quantum Torah as we humbly work on fusing a little tiny speck quantum physics with the eternal teachings of righteous souls like Rav Hillel of Parich, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Ben Ish Chai, the Chacham of Baghdad, the wise man of Baghdad, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe's. And if you go to my site on www.blogtalkradio.com, just type in Dunzos Yo Goodman, you'll have a smorgasbord of archives you can tap into. And if you're going to hear this as an archive version, not live, Blessed Souls, you can see I've listed a bunch of links which will empower your blessed human intellect to elevate itself, be interfacing with your divine image, Tzelem Elokim, which is no dream. So, as I talk about being focused, Blessed Souls, I came across some very, very interesting information yesterday. One was a letter written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which actually will be interfacing with scientific perspectives. And also, as well, to fulfill my obligation as part of this show's context, I want to point you in a direction of a very fascinating man who was interviewed by another fascinating man. And you'd have to go to Thinking Aloud TV, and that would you would find on YouTube, of course, www.youtube.com. And this programming provided by Thinking Aloud TV is basically very, very scientifically oriented, paranormal oriented, but more than that, just as I'm trying to encourage you, Blessed Souls, to think, so is Jeffrey Mishlov and his great efforts in doing so. I think he has a PhD in paranormal psychology, something like that. So, you know, not everything that's being said on that show I would agree with, not from a scientific perspective, because these gentlemen and these women, gentle women who come on the show, are much more scientifically advanced than myself, so I won't even try to challenge their scientific knowledge. However, from a spiritual perspective, looking through the prism of Torah, there are some difficulties in some of the things they've suggested, but still, critical thinking, blessed souls, critical thinking, empowered by our divine image, allows us to get into a conversation with ourselves and others about things we agree and disagree. I mean, the truth is, too, even in a laboratory, when two people are observing something transforming or manifesting before their very own blessed minds, two people will have different perspectives, and although they're observing the same phenomena being demonstrated or observed in the laboratory, they will use their own unique ways of expressing it if they were to take their own notes and write a paper on it, write a thesis, a lab report. Those of you who remember doing lab reports, as I did over 30 years ago when I was in high school and college. Well, that being said, blessings, I want to turn to a letter. We're not going to read the whole thing because it's a very long letter. It was written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, and this was written, as he titled it, by the grace of God, on the 18th of Tevis, 5722, which would have been 1962, probably January or February of that year, probably January. And he wrote I'm just pulling out from a part of the Rebbe's letter. Here it goes. And it really ties into Quantum Torah, show number 141. Greeting and blessing. Actually, again, Soul Class number 142. After not hearing from you for a long time, to the individual he was writing to, I was pleased to receive regards from you through the young men of Chabad. Now, remember, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was the and still is the leader of the Lubavitcher movement by the teachings that inspire us and lead us to this day, even though he ascended to the next level of life over almost 18 years ago. So after not hearing from you for a long time, I was pleased to receive regards from you to the young men of Chabad, which is another way of saying Lubavitch, who visited your community recently in connection with the public lecture. I was gratified to hear that you participated in the discussion. But it was quite a surprise to me to learn that you were still troubled by the problem of the age of the world as suggested by various scientific theories. Now, it was interesting in this letter that the Rebbe wrote to this individual, he underlined the word theories. So let's go back and read it again. It was still But it was still quite a surprise to me to learn that you were still troubled by the problem of the age of the world as suggested by various scientific theories, which cannot be reconciled with the Torah view that the world is 5,722 years old. Now, today, Blessed Souls, it's 5,772 years old, blazing and grazing into the creation according to the Torah perspective. And the Rebbe went on to say, I underline the word theories, for it is necessary to bear in mind, first of all, that science formulates and deals with theories and hypotheses, while the Torah deals with absolute truths. These are two different disciplines where reconciliation, the Rebbe put that in quote, end quote, around the word reconciliation, is entirely out of place. So again, I'll repeat what the Rebbe's viewpoint is. Remember, the Rebbe himself was an electrical engineer, having very fine training in colleges in Europe before World War II. There are two different disciplines where reconciliation is entirely out of place. So it was entirely surprising to me that, according to the report, the said quote-unquote problem is bothering you to the extent that it has trespassed upon your daily religious life, observant life, whatever you want to call it. I sincerely hope that the impression conveyed to me is an erroneous one, for as you know, and the Rebbe put in parentheses, it is mandatory to fulfill God's requirements or commandments regardless of the degree of understanding, and obedience to the divine law can never be conditional upon human approval. In other words, lack of understanding, even the existence of quote-unquote legitimate doubts, can never justify disobedience, to the divine commandments. How much less when the doubts are illegitimate, in the sense they have no real or logical basis, such as the quote-unquote problem in question about the age of the earth. Apparently our discussion, which took place a long time ago, and which, as I was pleased to learn, has not been forgotten by you, has nevertheless not cleared up this matter in your mind. I will attempt to do so in writing, which imposes both brevity and other limitations. I trust, however, that the following remarks will serve our purpose. Basically, the problem has its roots in a misconception of the scientific method, or simply of what science is. We must distinguish between empirical and experimental science, dealing with and confined to, describe it in classifying observable phenomena, and speculative quote-unquote science, dealing with unknown phenomena, sometimes phenomena that cannot be duplicated in the laboratory. Quote-unquote scientific speculation is actually a terminology. Blessed Souls, scientific speculation is actually a terminological incongruity. For quote unquote science, strictly speaking, means quote unquote knowledge, while no speculation can be called knowledge in the strict sense of the word. At best, science can only speak in terms of theories inferred from certain known facts and applied in the realm of unknown. And here science has two general methods of inference. A, the method of interpolation as distinguished from extrapolation, whereby knowing the reaction under two extremes, we attempt to infer that the reaction might be at any point between the two. B, the method of extrapolation, whereby inferences are made beyond a known range, on the basis of certain variables within the known range. For example, suppose we know the variables of a certain element within a temperature range of 0 degrees to 100 degrees. And I apologize to those of you who are more used to the temperature range according to the metric system. I'm going according to the Americanized version of standards for measurement of temperature. I don't have a calculator to convert that in front of me. But of course, the Rebbe was writing to someone who, understandably, was in America, so he used the American measurement for temperature. So, suppose we know the variables of a certain element within a temperature range of 0 degrees to 100 degrees. On the basis of this, we estimate what the reaction might be at 101, 200, or 2,000 degrees. So we're going to stop there, Blessed Souls, and I hope that gave you some food for thought. I think it's pretty important to share information like this for the next week in our next installment of Quantum Torah, that we will continue on with the Lubavitcher Rebbe's elucidation about the relative truths of science, which are, again, very, very positive and healthy. And hey, listen, because of science, of course, the Most High's blessings preceded the endeavors of those who put together, say, cyberspace, you know, who actually didn't put it together, discovered that cyberspace can be accessed, and then we could do such a show as like this. With that being said, now we're now going to go into the teachings of Rav Hillel Meparich, as I pull out my notes here. And we're going to start with Torah Quantum Energy Point number 1 from Hillel Meparich. We return to exploring the elucidations of Rav Hillel of Parich's first explanation of Ot, or Os Aleph, the first letter slash chapter of Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification of the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad Lubavitch. Last week we discussed there are many qualities within Das Elyon, the upper level, upper realms, characteristics, qualities of knowledge or sensitivity connected to the essence of something as it relates to wisdom and understanding. And also we gave a brief contrast to the one general level of Das Tachton. So we talked about the one general level of Das Tachton, the lower level of Das, knowledge slash sensitivity connection to the essence of a concept of wisdom and understanding. And we dealt with the lower level, the first general level of Das Elyon. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 2, so we continue with a quality of Das Elyon, which is higher than Chochmah, wisdom, within a person's consciousness, which can be explained as before one perceives a new Chochmah, wisdom slash intellect. However, blessed souls, we are talking about how, now, I should say, we are talking about now, that there is aroused within us a desire within ourselves to perceive a particular intellect, a chachma prati, particular wisdom, we may be vaguely familiar of or have just become aware of its existence as that particular chachma, particular wisdom that we would like to learn more about. Now this vague familiarity or desire to connect oneself to a newly found consciousness as a byproduct of learning of such consciousness, like seeing a new book with an interesting title, viewing an intriguing design of, say, example, the divine conduits of the creation, the Sfirot or Sfiros, or simply just listening to a Torah class, thereby we are motivated to bind ourselves to our Koch Hamaskil, which is explained or which was defined as superconsciousness by Rabbi Uri Kaplun when he did a translation of something called Lakuti Diborim, literally a gleaning of talkings by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson. And in general, in psychological terms, it's called consciousness in the world of psychology. We can also perhaps call this area of superconsciousness the apex of the higher self of consciousness. Or I would like to humbly extrapolate out, we just talked about extrapolation in that letter briefly, that our koch hamaskil, our superconsciousness, we want to call it subconsciousness, can also be looked at as a type of superego, which can impose upon our normative ego, and I'm not talking about ego, superego interrelationship like in the Freudian sense, but in the sense of an ego which is paradoxically egoless. But it is conscious, therefore it has an existence, therefore we call it ego. Something to think about, blessed souls, as we go on to Torah Quantum Energy Point number 3. Now, from these sublime coordinates, whether you want to call it Koach Hamaskil, superconsciousness, subconsciousness, superego, subconsciousness, this level of Das Elyon, higher level of Das, again, as we mentioned in last week, in the first quality level of Das Elyon, or the one general level of Das Tachton, there is a process of birthing. And what happens when we desire to go into that intellect that we have just become vaguely familiar of, in any which way we became vaguely familiar of it, this Das Elyon gives birth to a quality of essential intellect, the Seich or Chachma Atzmi, that the Rav Hillel calls it accessing a Chachma Lamaila Min HaChachma, a wisdom that is above a wisdom, or superego wisdom, being connected to draw down, and from there to extract out a kernel of superego consciousness to connect to our revealed right brain consciousness. So hopefully next week we'll continue with this. I know this is probably very, very, very new stuff to everyone here, but that's okay. That's the whole point here. That's my role, as I've been given this blessing to be a Torah activist, blessed souls, to put upon the table of your consciousness and say, take a bite, then do your own research. I hope I didn't make a mistake. I think I'm translating this in a way that it's within the spirit of the teaching and not compromising to the point where, say, like a meat product would become a milk product. We're mixing milk and meat together. Hashem, please bless me that I'm going in the right direction with my presentations with you, blessed souls. But now the good news is, blessed souls, we're going to the Ben Ish Chai with Torah Quantum Energy Point number 4, who points out in this week's Torah portion, in one of his books, quote, "And you shall serve Hashem, Almighty, your Creator, and He will bless your bread and water, and I will remove illness from your midst," unquote. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 5, the Ben Ish Chai asserts, blessed souls, that there is a particular service which will lead to the blessings of bread and the blessings of water, and last but not least, the removal of illness, which the Ben Ish Chai instructs us is dependent on the means by which we serve the Most High Creator in this physical world. And the means by which we can serve the Most High in this physical world with our physical bodies and our physical consciousness, because whatever we're conscious of is enclosed within our physical brain. Therefore, our consciousness, which does have very ethereal qualities to it, is kind of morphed into a physical realm in our brain and our mind, in our soul within our brain and our mind. And this type of service that we're talking about, or the Ben Ish Chai is talking about, blessed souls, is serving the Creator with the service of the heart, which is known as prayer. And this is brought down in our oral Torah tradition of in the Talmudic tractate, the tractate of Tainit, or Tainus, the second page on the first side. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 6. "For as Israelites, blessed souls, we are expected to engage in the service of the heart." And of course, I want to mention in parentheses, under the most optimal, the best circumstances, which for us means in communal prayer, of 10 Jewish men or more. And there are more details about that, which I won't go into, but you can learn about that if you want to. You have to go to the Code of Jewish Law or ask your local rabbinical authority. "And that we should be engaging formally in the service of the heart 3 times a day. Now, that's from the aspect of communal prayer, but at any time that you need to, bless yourselves, reach out to the Most High. Reach out to Him, whether you be an Israelite or a blessed son or daughter of Noah, because all of us, it would behoove us to acknowledge that He is the source of all of our means of empowerment. He is the source of providing for our needs. Hopefully we'll be provided with our needs in a peaceful and pleasant manner. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 7, the Ben Ish Chai illuminates for our eyes that of the 3 communal prayers that we make every day, there's a particular section of the prayer called the Shmona Esrei, or the Amida prayer, where we're literally standing. And 3 times a day when we pray, we're actually saying 19 blessings.
So the Ben Ish Chai, with his unique style of Torah reasoning from the oral Torah traditions and his Ruach HaKodesh, his holy inspiration, divine inspiration, multiplies each time, three times, which corresponds to the number of times we pray a day in a communal setting, times the 19 blessings, and that equals 57 blessings. Now, the Ben Ish Chai wants us to understand that the numerical value of 57, which is elicited by multiplying three times we pray every day, times the 19 communal blessings in the Amida prayer, is equal 57, which also corresponds to the Hebrew word of Dagan, which means grain. So in Torah quantum energy point number 8, we Israelites pray three times a day, and this is a catalyst, as the Ben Ish Chai asserts, for proper livelihood to descend from above. And this matter was prophesied by the prophet Hosea in chapter 14, verse 8. So your homework assignment will be, blessed souls, is go to Hosea, Navi Hosea, or Hosea, maybe you say in English, in chapter 14, verse 8. Torah quantum energy point number 9. Another dimension of significance of the numerical value of 57, blessed souls, is that, which again constitutes the numerical value of Dagan, or Dogon, grain, is that there is a combination of actually two divine names of the Creator which add up to the numerical value of 57. And those two divine names of the Most High are the Shem Kael, which would be spelled with a Aleph, and then we'll pause because we're not going to directly spell the name out for you, an Aleph, and then we pause and say it's followed by a Lamed. That has a numerical value of 31. Then we connect it with the Shema Miyuchad, the unique name of the Most High, which is constituted of the following four letters, a Yud, and then it's going to be followed by a Hey, which will then be followed by a Vav, and then followed by a Hey, which has a numerical value of 26. And also we see, blessed souls, in Torah quantum energy point number 10. So in Psalms, King David wrote about that we can see that the combination of these two divine names, again in Psalms chapter 118, verse 27, that when you combine these two divine names, it is indicative of a revelation of divine countenance. So I suggest you go over there. If you can't read in the Hebrew, that's okay. You just have to take my word for it that the two names of the Most High mentioned in 118, verse 27 in Psalms, referring to these two names, Kael Havaya. Torah quantum energy point number 11, these two names, Shem Kael and Shem Havaya, are hinted to within also the Hebrew word for Ochel, which can mean eat, or it could also mean eating, or food. So what we derive out from the Ben Ish Chai's teaching here today, blessed souls, is that when we are praying out in a communal fashion, the 12 tribes of Israel, three times the 19 blessings in the Amida prayer, we are connected to bring down proper livelihood for ourselves. We're also accessing these two divine names, Kael Havaya, which also is connected to the word Ochel, which means, again, eating or food, which is spelled with an Aleph, a Vav, and a Chaf, and a Lamed. And from them, that combination, there's an elicitation, again, a Shefa, a bounty, which are being empowered. This bounty is being empowered by accessing the Kael Havaya Tziruf combination, and a good livelihood is provided for us. And unfortunately, blessed souls, to our great pain, not enough Jewish people are praying communally. Not enough Jewish people even know they're supposed to pray communally. And not enough Jewish people, unfortunately, are making the efforts to encourage others to pray communally within the 12 tribes of Israel. So hopefully just my lamentation, right, brief lamentation, but I think it's a positive lamentation, that we shall seek to encourage other blessed souls of the 12 tribes of Israel to come together in this manner to empower not only ourselves, but all of Israel. And ultimately, we're talking about empowering all of the creation, including each and every blessed nation, the blessed children of Noah. Moving on to the Zohar, blessed souls, the book of Revelation for the 12 tribes of Israel, as I would humbly extrapolate out in my quote-unquote theory, well, I won't call it scientific. In the book of Zohar, we see in Torah Quantum Energy point number 12, this week's Torah portion, according to the Zohar, we observe Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stating matter-of-factly the five words, the first five words of this week's Torah portion, Mishpatim, which is like the Mishpatim in the ordinances, the normative ordinances, which are basically what the seven Noahic commandments are connected to. And it says, these are the commandments or ordinances that you shall place before them. End of quote. Torah Quantum Energy point number 13, blessed souls, yet as normal as that presentation may appear to you, to us blessed souls, we now witness via the prism, the Sefer HaZohar's unique consciousness. We now witness an exponential leap into the order of what some people accept, some people are not aware of, some people have a difficult dealing with this fallen concept, namely the reincarnation of souls, Gilgulim, Soda Gilgulim. In Torah Quantum Energy point number 14, the order of the reincarnation of souls, Soda Gilgulim, relates to judgments relating, again, to those very secrets of reincarnation. Torah Quantum Energy point number 15, the process of reincarnation of Gilgulim, of Gilgul, is actually a purification for those souls who are deemed appropriate for this unique type of tikkun, rectification, or tahara, purification. Torah Quantum Energy point number 16, so the Zohar wants us to know that the word Mishpatim, from this week's Torah portion, or this week's Torah portion, Mishpatim, relates specifically to the secrets of reincarnation that Moshe, Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, should reveal to the children of Israel. Torah Quantum Energy point number 17, commenting on these deep perspectives of tahara, purification, tikkun, and rectification, a great scholar, a righteous man who lived over 500 years ago, 500 plus years ago, Rav Moshe Cordovero, mentioned that there is an element of the entity, the phenomena of Gilgul, reincarnation, for the tzaddik, for the righteous person, who now can return via this reincarnation to fully complete their mission on this physical plane of existence. And our last Torah Quantum Energy point concerning the Zohar this week, blessed souls, is, yet with this being said, Gilgul, reincarnation, retains an element of judgment we could say is actually even more severe than even Gehenna, which the world calls hell and misunderstands completely according to the Torah perspective what actually Gehenna is. For when the soul is immersed in Gehenna, the soul actually benefits by being purified, being some sort of fire, which I really don't know how to describe it, and I guess you'll just have to do more research on the matter as we try to compete with the hammer banging downstairs below the apartment that I'm floor that I'm sitting by. So I cannot go into this whole idea of what Gehenna means, or the world we call hell. Now I'm just going to ask you blessed souls to look it up and do your own research. But when the soul has to go down into Gehenna, into this place called hell, it is purified via some sort of fire ash, which purifies and cleanses the soul. So then the soul can ascend into the courtyard of the righteous souls of this creation in a place that we're aware of. But again, most of us, and I don't claim any great knowledge of this realm within creation called Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. Yes, blessed souls, the Garden of Eden is not just some place that existed in the book of Genesis. It has always existed since the Most High deemed it His wisdom and will that it should exist. But again, you'd have to Google up, and you can go to places like the website of Rav Yitzchak Ginsburg, www.inner.org, and you also can go to www.chabad.org, chabad.org, and ask questions of the rabbis there, or you can also go to www.asknoah.org. Now, listeners, we're going to take a couple-minute break. I want to play a song from a new CD that I got from a good friend, Joseph Israel, out in California. And I just want everyone to know that this is music for not just Israelites. Primarily, it's for the nations of the world because there are groups of people that wholeheartedly love to learn Torah. They have, but also they embrace a belief in what they call the Brit Chadasha, which the world will call the New Testament, which I have to publicly say I do not adhere to. And so this song has a little bit of that idea in it. But remember, this was the beginning of our show. We talked about the idea that we should be able to deal with ideas on the scientific level that we can agree or disagree with. And here to now, there is one or two ideas here that I don't necessarily agree with, but I want to play this song because most of it, I think, is very true, tried and true Torah ideology. And if any of you have trouble with it, this idea, well, then I suggest for the next 4 minutes and 32 seconds you don't listen to it. But those of you who want to have an open mind, listen to it, enjoy. This is Joseph Israel, and this is called Better Way. Hold on, please. Let's just cue it up. Here we go. No, that's not what we want. That's not what we want. That's what Isaac Batone's music. We're going to just shut that down. And we'll stop that. No, we'll stop that. I'll just bear with me. This is what we call a technical issue, blessed souls. So let's now go back and restart it. And here's 4 minutes and 32 seconds of Joseph Israel's Better Way.
came from a long trip out of one soul as one. We must live one God, one King, one righteous community, one lost, no found. Everybody know that you need to be road. Many rivers, it's up to me that you. One leads the life, the other you do. Rejoice and proclaim, your cry was not in vain. Well, I may fade away, but
Joseph is in the Jerusalem Band from his new album, Be Not Dismayed. And I think that's very important music to listen to if you're of the nations. And if you're an Israelite, I say like myself, I'm willing to listen to it because it's sending out a very powerful message. Don't let the time slip away. Why should you let it slip away? It's ticking away, but it's there to give you a better sense of your limitations in order that you can connect better to the one who is beyond all limitations, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. So we're moving now into the last aspect of our show, which is the Torah Quantum Energy Points of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, I want to point out, too, something I didn't do at the beginning of the show, is that this week the International Community of Israel will be reading from Parshas Mishpatim, which is in the book of Genesis, from chapter 21, verse 1, and concluding in chapter 24, verse 18. Also, we'll be reading from the Book of Kings, part 2. There was Sefer Malachim Aleph and then Sefer Malachim Bez. So we'll be reading from the Book of Kings, number 2, chapter 11, verses 17 through 20, and then concluding with Book of Kings, book 2, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. I also want to mention that it's also Parshas Machzis HaShechel, which deals with the idea we'll be reading a certain special portion in the Maftir, and in the Haftorah, which deal with the concept we're going to talk about now briefly, but again, to make you aware of these concepts so we can all come together and discuss what we agree and disagree upon. As it turns out, we're not going to agree on everything, but when the most I see the children of men, everyone endowed with this divine image, that he'll bless us all to come to a higher understanding. And that's my intent in doing these humble efforts on Soul Class. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 19, Blessed Souls. Communal contributions have been a part of normative or normal Israelite society since the official giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai over 3,323 years ago. I just want to point out from the oral Torah tradition, communal contributions actually took place before that. And also acts of charity, tzedakah, were all exhibited by Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Torah Quantum Energy Point number 20, clearly from Scripture, as listed in the book, Exodus, Sefer Shmos, black and white before our very eyes, we gaze upon the following Torah instruction. Quote, this they shall give everyone who passes through the census, half a shekel of the holy shekel. The shekel is 20 gerah, half a shekel, a portion to the Most High. As well, in verse 14, everyone who passes from 20 years of age and up shall give a portion to the Most High. Now, a point, which we'll mention as Torah quantum energy point number 21, blessed souls, a concept here to be contemplated upon, blessed souls, is what was done with the communal contribution of the half shekel from the days of Moshe or Moses when it was originally given. Torah quantum energy point number 22, blessed souls, the money collected from each Israelite man 20 years and older as a representative for his household if he was married and had a family. That money collected from the Israelite man 20 years and older was used to purchase animals for communal sacrifice. And Torah quantum energy point number 23, of course, blessed souls, we don't have a base of Mikdash now. We don't have a holy temple standing. The service within the temple has ceased for almost 2,000 years. Therefore, there's no Torah obligation in effect right now to collect that half shekel, whatever would be the equivalent in modern-day monetary value, from those who would be 20 and older to give. Therefore, for instance, I myself, if I'm more than 20 years old and I am a male and representing my family, I would be obligated to give a half shekel if the temple was standing. May it be standing speedily in our days. But since I'm not, what is expected of the nation of Israel to do now in place of that commandment which we cannot perform according to literally understanding the scripture of the Torah? Torah quantum energy point number 24 addresses that issue, blessed souls, that corresponding to the sacrifices that were once offered on the behalf of the community of Israel, the sages of Israel instituted within the awareness of the masses that our prayers are tefillot, which we talked about prayer before, remember in the Torah quantum energy points of the Ben Ish Chai, our prayer now is established to be in the place of communal animal sacrifice. Torah quantum energy point number 25, blessed souls, we should take a step back so as to focus upon what a sacrifice instructed us, namely that our lower realm of creation, with human beings being part and parcel of that lower realm, should seek to connect, bind themselves to communicate a message to the upper realms of creation with intention of appeasing, pleasing, and gratifying the source of all creation, Makor Dekur, the source of everything, the Most High. Torah quantum energy point number 26, so our communal prayers, and when we're unable to pray communally, our individual prayers are our means, blessed souls, of pouring out our intentions to the Most High Creator in a manner described in the book of Samuel 1, chapter 1, verse 15, quote, "And I have poured out my soul before the Most High," end of quote. Torah quantum energy point number 27. Now, by the way, I have to point out, so I'm extracting and plucking out from teachings of Lubavitch Rebbe, and I think we're not going to be able to finish this presentation. Hopefully we'll carry it over to next week. That the concept, the essence of prayer on our part actually corresponds to a type of prayer which is actually offered up from within a realm of supernal consciousness within the very creation, which is not a human consciousness, but a consciousness embedded within the spheriotic realm of the sphere of Malchut, the divine source of the divine conduit of all sense of kingship. What's going on here? We mentioned again that verse from Chana, who was a female prophetess, the mother of Shmuel Samuel, that this idea of the pouring out of the soul before the Most High, that the concept of nafshi, or my soul, pouring out of my soul, relates to the essence of prayer within the divine conduit of Malchus. As King David spoke so tersely in his Psalms, his Perek of Tehillim Kuftes, chapter 109, verse 4, "And as for me, may my prayer," that when King David, Na'im's Minot Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel, declared with prophetic spirit that, "As for me," this is referring to the quality of kingship, which is also can be found within the quality of prayer. So King David was the king of the people. Therefore, he prayed. So he was an expression of kingship embedding itself within the concept of prayer. But again, King David was a human. We're talking about a higher level of supplication within Malchus itself, way above any human endeavor to pray to the Most High, whether that person is a king like King David or a regular person like you and I, blessed souls, listening into these concepts. So what's going on here? Lubavitch Rebbe explains to us that the concept of kingship actually prays and supplicates to the Holy One, blessed be He, because there's an essence of surging and thirsting within this divine conduit of Malchus. And this is also hinted to, which is written, again, in chapter 30, verse 13. I shouldn't say again. The Rebbe brought down as a source for this thirsting and longing in Psalms 30, verse 13. And I just implore you, blessed souls, to check it out yourself. Go to Psalms 30, verse 13, and see for yourself what's written there. Excuse me. So, Torah quantum energy point number 28. So prayer, just accordingly as is embedded within the qualities of Malchus, of kingship, another expression of kingship, is the spiritual body of the nation of Israel called Knesset Israel, the gathering in of all the Israelite souls above. Now, what happens is when prayer, according to what is rooted in the qualities of kingship or malchut, as it's related to the spiritual entity of the souls of Israel above, enclosed into our physical Israelite bodies, there is drawn down an essence or a concept of prayer to all the souls of Israel, and every soul in particular, to each one of us who are Israelites down here. So we need to understand, you know, what is the concept of prayer as it relates to within being embodied within kingship? So, because it would make sense, but so that prayer relates to the human experience, and in the human experience, in the physical body, we have a soul. And behold, being that the soul is literally a portion of the Most High, nevertheless, after the soul travels and descends many levels, until it encloses itself into the animal soul, which is connected to the empowerment of our voluntary human body experiences and whatever we do experience or carry out in our human physical life actions. It also is involved, the ascension of the soul is enclosed in our animal soul, and our soul is also engaged in this world. But what happens in the process, blessed souls, when our souls descend down here into our physical bodies and interacts with the world, a great concealment and hiding can take place within the soul's perspective, and therefore the soul, which is supercharged with tremendous awareness of the Most High, even though our human normative consciousness or our regular ego-centered thinking might struggle with this desire, does not prevent the soul still from having a desire and a thirst to go back to its source. Now, in the spheric configuration of the sphere of Malchus, divine conduit for all sense of kingship, it is a part of a system of nine other spheres, the system of Torah, the Hasidus and the Kabbalah instructions of Torah, that there is a system of 10 spheres, 10 divine conduits, which has its own sense of symmetry, whether chaotic or orderly. That's a discussion for another time. And we see that the Most High binds himself up with absolutely no effort on his part, but does simultaneously with every aspect of the creation, that he is the light that he emanates out is totally one with any lower diminished levels of light that he projects out into the universe and all sorts and all types of varieties of vessels. So it's not really understood what's the relevancy that the soul should have a thirsting and a desiring to want to go back up to its source, and that it's a continual desire within our soul. Again, we're not addressing, the Rebbe started out with this, addressing this idea that there is a thirst and desire of the divine conduit, the sphere of Malchus, to come back to its creator, or the higher levels of consciousness within the creation, but also relates to, on a on a microcosmic level that our own souls have this great desire to connect to the Most High. Now, so unfortunately, we're running out of time, and yours truly, I have to get to work. So we're going to have to conclude the show. We'll pick up hopefully with Torah Quantum Energy point number 29 next week and include that with other teachings in Quantum Torah. You can reach me at Dan Zosia Goodman. Befriend me on Facebook, and hopefully you'll hear the archived version of our show today if you didn't hear it live. And we're gonna finish the show with Face the Truth by brother in arms David Dom, good friend from England. David Dom's music is to help us get back home to face the truth from the book of Genesis through the book of Ruth to help us get back home to connect to our image, which will help us have a proper scrimmage that Tzelem Elokim is no dream. Bless your souls. Take care and Shabbat Shalom. Take care, everyone, and bless and pray each other in a peaceful, pleasant manner. B'darchi nom darchi shalom. Ahav achad, one love, goril achad. One love, one destiny, kulanu for all of us. B'berchus Hashem Yisbreich. With the blessings of the Most High, laham shik, to be continued, b'toch ha-briya shalano, in the creation that is ours. Because we've been blessed to work this earth as the stewards of the earth for the Most High. Take care, everyone.
I see the problem you are dealing with.